The text selected today for our meditation is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, where we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is the truth. Amen. Please be seated. American culture has long been obsessed with the lives of wealthy people, particularly their homes. About the same time that many of you were just born or just learning to probably crawl, there was a TV network series entitled Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which showcased a number of these unbelievable homes. You don't have to just watch TV to experience that. Any of you who have been to Southern California and, for example, been to Beverly Hills knows that you can take tours at a small fee, I might add, to see some of those homes of the Hollywood stars and others of the social elite. And we love it. Closer to home, many communities have what is referred to as a parade of homes that not only showcases quality workmanship and decorating ideas, but gives us a chance to get inside some of those homes that are not so typical. So what motivates our collective interest in these unbelievable homes? For some, it's probably breaking the ninth commandment. They simply covet them. For others, it's more maybe a chance or an idea that we, just like anybody else, can achieve success. I mean, after all, that is the American ideal, isn't it? You get a new idea, a lot of hard work, maybe a little luck, and you're successful. How much really separates us from becoming successful like, let's say, the next pitchman, Billy Mays, or the next overnight sensation, singing sensation like an American Idol? And what comes with that, of course, is fame, fortune, and a very nice home. So not only in theory, but also from some specific examples, we believe that that ideal can be achieved. So can the same thing be said about heavenly homes, eternal dwellings? Are we able to use that same formula to earn ourselves a magnificent home in heaven? In our text today, we learn that Jesus is the one preparing a place for us. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, for our basic human nature, however, this kind of rubs us the wrong way. We think that we can achieve this ourselves. Just like we see those around us turn their ordinary lives into extraordinary lives. Throughout history, humanity has struggled with this when looking for the certainty of blissful eternal life. That was, after all, the central vexing question that Martin Luther had as a young man. How do I play into this? What can I do to help? Can I be sure about this? Well, the Bible has some things to say about that. For example, Paul tells us in Romans, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So Scripture is very clear about this. No matter what we do, no matter how hard we work at it, no matter how good we are at doing any of this, the formula used to earn the American dream home will never work for us to achieve an eternal heavenly home. So when Jesus tells the disciples and us in this text, "Let not your heart be troubled," it comes as a shock to us as sinners. On a daily basis, I suspect there's a lot for us to be troubled about. Grades, relationships, finances, even natural disasters. The list goes on. And if we extend this into the spiritual realm, it becomes even more troubling. If certainty of an eternal mansion is a matter of our hard work and good looks, then I would say our heart would indeed be troubled. That's why Jesus says that he's going to prepare a place for us. We aren't preparing it. We're not helping him in the preparation. He's the one that's doing all the preparation. So when he declares to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled," he did this knowing full well that what he was about to endure, that is, by carrying the burden of all of humanity's sins to the cross, by being forsaken by the Father, and then 3 days later, rising from the dead, that would give him the authority to state this very confidently. Clearly, there's no need for us to be troubled, whether there be things that bother us today or a week from now or even as we die. During this Easter season, we continue to remind each other that since he overcame death, we will do the same and live with him throughout eternity. Now that he's cleared the way and gone on before us, we have the comfort and absolute assurance of our eternal inheritance. Since he's the one who is making the preparations for us, there is no doubt that those mansions will be far superior to anything that we can imagine on a parade of homes. Any imagery, as sketchy as it might be in the Bible, about what heaven is like, leaves no doubt that our dwelling places in the presence of God will be far beyond anything that we can ever imagine. Jesus goes on to remind us in these verses that not only has he prepared a place for us, but the way there is clearly marked and known by us, and that he himself will return to bring us there. So in the verses that immediately follow our text here, he tells the disciples and us, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So indeed, we do know the way. And what's more, he uses us to tell others about that way. It's not coincidental that the early church was simply known as the way. And the early Christians enthusiastically told those that they encountered about the way. We are reminded of this as we're strengthened in our faith when we read and hear God's word proclaimed, partake of the Lord's Supper. Spreading the message of the way to eternal life and our heavenly home to others is at the core of what we do here at Bethany Lutheran College. It's not something to be held in confidence, but to be shared freely. As we go on our separate paths this summer, each of us, I'm sure, will have ample opportunities to share the way, and it is our prayer that we take those opportunities and do that, just as the early Christians did. Many of you will be returning to the home of your parents for the summer, and more than likely they have prepared a place for you while you'll be there with them. It's an expression of parents' love for their daughters or son. In the same way, Jesus' preparation of a heavenly home is also an expression of his love for his children, us. So wherever your summer takes you, be comforted in knowing that Jesus has prepared the way, we know it, and that he will return to bring us to it. Thanks be to God. Let us rise for prayer. We have included in our prayers this morning a special prayer of thanksgiving for the successful surgery that Paul Wohl had here recently. We pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, as this academic year draws to a close, we thank and praise you for all the blessings of body, mind, and soul which you have so graciously given to us. May the knowledge we have gained be used to glorify you and benefit our fellow man. Above all, we thank you for giving us the knowledge of your Son, who has gone to prepare an eternal home for us. Preserve us in your grace, that we may always be prepared for his return to greet us. Today, we also thank you for bringing your servant, Paul Wohl, safely through surgery. According to your will, grant him a full and speedy recovery. We ask it all in the name of your Son, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. We continue with the next verses.